Kings chapter number 18. We are taking a week off in the book of Genesis as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. We are going to preach a message entitled Wasted Blessings. Wasted Blessings. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We are blessed beyond all measure. When we, especially as Christians and as believers, we have so much to be thankful for. We mentioned last Sunday night at the end of service, as after Brother Mark had preached, I said, if we compare to what our lives are like to those that lived 300 years ago or 400 years ago or even 100 years ago, the luxuries that we have compared to them, we live better than kings did 200 or 300 years ago, and we just have so many blessings. But here's the key is, what are we doing with those blessings? The story this morning, we're going to talk about a king who was getting ready to die. God allowed him to know that he was getting ready to die. The prophet comes to him and says, hey, get your house and ready. You're not going to get up off this bed. And Hezekiah is the king. He turns his head and he turns and faces the wall and he begins to beg God and plead God and pray to God and ask God to heal him up. And then God says, through Isaiah, he goes back and says, okay, you can have 15 more years. And you would think 15 more years. And Hezekiah, he was a good king. He did a lot of great things. Look what it says in 2 Kings chapter 18. Look what it says in verse number 5. God's description in about Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18 and verse number 5. He says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Man, that's a pretty high testimony he has of Hezekiah, is that, hey, he was unlike any other king because he lived for God for this first 15 years of his reign. Actually, first 14 years of reign. Well, after this great battle where he cries out to God and God delivers him miraculously from the hand of Sennacherib by sending an angel to destroy the enemy, he prays and God heals him up. And you would think, 15 years. Boy, he can serve God. He can magnify God. He can lift God up and say, God healed me. God did this for me. And he can just praise the Lord and be thankful for those next 15 years. We're going to see in the story today, that's just not what happened. That actually the last 15 years of his life were worse than the first 14. And that the pride had come up inside of him so much that he did not take advantage and use the blessings that God had given him. Because he was unthankful. And so when we consider this morning about this season of Thanksgiving, consider all the things that are going on, I want us to see, first of all, that we have so many things to be thankful for, so many blessings, but are we wasting the blessings that God's given us? And we're going to get to that in a little while, but first, I guess you say, what do you mean waste the blessing? Well, what you hold in your hand is a great blessing from God. The Word of God, the Bible. I mean, God's powerful book. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you want to know how not to sin, hide God's word in your heart, the Bible says. How are you going to cleanse your ways? By taking heed unto his word. You know what? The Bible is one of the greatest blessings that we have. But how many of us are wasting it? And that's the idea we're talking about, a wasted blessing. Hezekiah would have done better. You're going to think I'm mean by saying this. Hezekiah would have done better if he would have died at 39 than lived the next 15 years. And we're going to see in the story because in those 15 years some bad things happened because he chose not to render unto God for the benefits that God had given him. Christian, this morning, a blessing is a gift, a benefit, and a advantage. And as we ponder this morning all the benefits and all the blessings and all the gifts that God has given us, are we wasting the blessings or are we using it for God's glory? Let's go to chapter number 20. We're going to do a little bit more reading than normal, but we're going to tell the story as it goes along. And in chapter number 20, the battle's over. Hezekiah has won this great battle. The Lord used him in a powerful way. And we see here that he is told that he is sick. And we're just going to walk through this passage of scripture. Also going to look at 2 Chronicles, which is the same story, just from a little bit different vantage point. And then we're going to preach the message wasted blessings. Here in 2 Kings chapter number 20, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now Hezekiah this time is 39. He is a young man. He has only served for 14 years, and at this point in time, he does not have an heir to take over the throne. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord." And this is what we should do. If we are sick, if we have a need, we should go to the Lord in prayer. He said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, we don't see him bragging here. He is going to God based off of God's promises, which we find in the book of Leviticus, that is given to the nation of Israel. For those that live for God, God was going to bless. Verse number 4, "And it came to pass after Isaiah was gone into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee." Now, isn't it wonderful we serve a God that answers and hears our prayers? Just that he hears our prayers is enough, but he even answers our prayers, as we heard Miss Mary Jo singing about. He said, "I have seen thy tears, behold, I will hear thee, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord." See, God is healing him, and God has a plan for him, and his plan is for him to go up into the house of the Lord and to praise him, to worship him. God, when he gives us blessings, it's not just because we're good, not just because we deserve it, and in all reality, it's because we are not good, but it's because he is good, he gives us blessings, and we should use those blessings. Let's keep on going. Verse number 6, "And I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria." So not only is God telling him, look, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life, but in these 15 years, I am going to take care of this city for you. And Assyria, who was a great empire at that moment in time, was not going to come into the city while Hezekiah was alive. Boy, Hezekiah has much to be thankful for. "I will defend the city for my own sake and for thy servant David's sake." And Isaiah took a lump of figs, and we see here that he does a municipal type purpose here. Hezekiah had some type of boil, and something, some people think it might have been cancerous or leprous, different things like that. Hezekiah does some type of medicine here, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he received. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I should go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "The sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And so we see here that God is giving him a sign, the fact he is going to be healed. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now, during this time period, you're going to see in 2 Chronicles, people are encouraged, they're excited, they bring gifts to God, they bring gifts to Hezekiah because of the war. And here in verse number 12, you're going to see this guy with this long name comes from Babylon bringing a present to Hezekiah. At the time of Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, now who was not the great empire at the time, but was looking for help to join up with Israel, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Okay, so you have a pagan nation coming and sending a present, and coming to say, hey, look, we know you've been sick, we know that God has healed you, and Hezekiah has the chance, one of the greatest chances in all the world, to give God praise. But we see that he doesn't give God praise, but instead he shows the people of Babylon all the different things he has. "And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not." So he goes and begins taking them on a tour of the of the kingdom and showing, in a sense, bragging or showing off what he has. Verse 14, then came Isaiah. You don't see him saying this came from the Lord, that the Lord healed me. He just shows of his bountiful treasures. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah. He said, well, I don't see what's wrong with that. Well, God is displeased with it. You see it here in verse 14. And said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country. And Hezekiah thinks he's something special. The people from Babylon traveled all this way just to see him, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And once again, this was displeasing the Lord. And verse 16, Isaiah pronounces judgment because of the pride of Hezekiah's heart. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. So we see in the story here, he's saying, look, because you've done this, the nation of Babylon someday is going to come and take your kingdom away, or the kingdom of Judah away. And of thy sons thou shalt issue from thee, which shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So, I mean, he's just told him, look, here's your judgment for what you've done. Babylon's coming. They're going to take away all your treasure. They're going to take your sons and the young men and make them eunuchs for the people of Babylon. I mean, this is a pretty tough punishment and judgment here. He's revealing unto him. So what would you think this godly man Hezekiah would do? We would think he would fall right on his knees and beg God for forgiveness and seek for the help of his children, his grandchildren, and for the children of the kingdom. Well, let's see what it says in verse number 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And then look at this next phrase. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? He's saying, hey, look, as long as it's going to be peace and truth in my days, remember the promise that was made back here? He doesn't really care. Let's take, and like I said, we're going to do a little bit more reading than normal. Let's take our Bibles now in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want you to remember those couple of things there. 2 Chronicles verse 32. 2 Chronicles verse number 32, we see part of the problem that happens here. And we're going to pick up in verse number 20, because I want you to see what God did and how God delivered them. 2 Chronicles, which is only a few books over, verse 32, chapter 32, I'm going to start in verse number 20. Chapter 32, verse number 20. The Bible says, and for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried unto heaven. Now, what causes this? This is when the Syrian army was coming and trying to attack Jerusalem and taking over Jerusalem. They cried unto God. Verse 21, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor. So Hezekiah did not have to fight this battle. God fights this battle for him. And the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria, so he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Now that's referring to the Sennacherib, who was the one that was trying to take over Judah and Jerusalem here. Verse 22, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah. It was the Lord that did this. The angel had done this. Hezekiah had not done this. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Verse 23, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and present to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. So Hezekiah has been lifted up in the sight of all nations. And verse 24, it says, in those days. So he's been lifted up. All the nations are looking at Hezekiah because of his great victory. He has a chance to praise the Lord. But what happens is Hezekiah falls sick. Same story as found in 2 Kings 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. And it's referring to the shadows and the degrees. But I want you to see verse number 25. And this is probably what I would consider the theme verse of the message. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. So what the Bible's saying here is that he did not render. He did not live his life remembering the benefit that God had given him. God had given him 15 more years to serve him, 15 more years to live for him, 15 more years of life when his life was supposed to end. He says, you can have 15 more years, but he does not live his life remembering what God did for him. Instead, he lives his life any way he chooses. And we see that pride enters in his heart. I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to skip down a few more verses here. And we'll go to verse number 30. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his work. Now, this is in referring to the different things, how God blessed the kingdom, especially when they were humbled and when they called upon God. Verse 31, you see the same story about the ambassadors coming. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all the things that was in his heart. I want you to show you that verse because it says that they began to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. They came to see what God had done for Hezekiah, and Hezekiah does what? They came to hear about the one true God. They came to wonder what God was doing. But God, Hezekiah does not give God the glory. But instead, Hezekiah shows him all his possessions, the things he's prideful of. This morning, and we're going to go through three things very quickly. We're going to talk about three different things an unthankful person does. And that's why I look at Hezekiah, verse number 25. He does not render. He does not remember what God had done for him. So number one is an unthankful person takes things for granted. An unthankful person takes things for granted. They will waste the blessings that God has given them. You think about it. He rendered not again according to the benefit unto him. Remember, a blessing is a gift, a benefit, an advantage. And when the prophet Isaiah came and told Hezekiah that he would not recover, that he was not going to recover from his sickness, and then God heals him, God heard his prayer, miraculously healed him. Wouldn't you think Hezekiah's heart would be filled with gratitude, filled with praise, that he would want to serve God more faithfully than ever after receiving such a wonderful blessing? But instead, his heart is filled with pride, and Hezekiah was not thankful for what God had done. God does so many good things for us, and it's not because of our goodness. It's because he is good. Through his grace, he has placed us into his family. And there are a few things more evil than for us to give, not to give praise and thanks to God for his blessings. As we see this demonstrated in the life of Hezekiah, ungratefulness will cause punishment and judgment. I don't know about you. We heard Mr. Mark's story last Sunday night a little bit about one of the most disappointing things or one of the most unsatisfying things is when you go and you give someone something or you try to be nice to someone, try to be a blessing, and they don't say thank you. You don't do it because you want to be thanked. You don't want to do it because you want to be recognized. You do it for the Lord. But it means so much when someone will take time and just say thank you for doing it. And it is showing gratitude for what God's using them. And I agree with him. That is one of the things that probably irked me a little bit is when, and I don't do it for praise. I don't do it for things. But, you know, we want people to recognize that, give God the glory for the things that was done, to be said thank you to. My wife is a stickler for making sure that we fill out thank you notes. And sometimes we might miss somebody here or there. People are a blessing to us all the time and they're nice to us. But we at our house try to write out thank you notes. The boys try to write out thank you notes. It's because we appreciate it. We don't want to waste the blessings that God has given us. We want to show appreciation for the blessings that God has given us. The story is told about a Grant, U.S. Prior to the Civil War, U.S. Grant had a mixed record. He was an indifferent student. He graduated near the bottom of his class at West Point. He resigned from the Army under a cloud in 1854. He was called back to service when the fighting broke out. Grant had an established reputation as a dogged commander who would grind opposing armies into surrender. His refusal to negotiate under any terms with the defeated Confederate Army earned him the nickname Unconditional Surrender Grant. Yet, after a victory in Fort Duslon, he treated the Confederate commander Simon Buckner, a former classmate of his at West Point, with great dignity and respect. See, years before, Buckner had helped Grant with a generous loan when Grant could not afford to return home. Buckner later described their meeting this way: "Under these circumstances, I surrendered to General Grant. I had at my previous time befriended him, and it has been justly said that he has never forgotten an act of kindness. Grant repaid Buckner the money he had once been loaned so that the defeated general would not be in need. What that story is telling us is that Grant remembered and he paid back. He was thankful. He showed gratitude by rendering unto the service, remembering what was done and paying back. And God expects us to be a thankful people. We have been given so much through God's grace, and it is only right and proper that we frequently and joyfully express our gratitude for what he has done. The devil knows that if he can persuade us to take these things for granted, that he has planted seeds that will destroy the harvest of thanksgiving in our lives. Now, I took a little bit of time. I wrote down some things that I think are wasted blessings that even may be true in my life a little bit, maybe be true in yours. And I think it's good this Thanksgiving season we think of some things that we might take for granted. As I mentioned, first of all, we think about the Bible. We take this for granted sometimes. When we have a question or need, maybe then we'll search it, but the Bible tells us we should be meditating on his word day and night. A thankful person will see what God has done and given to us and will render unto him what is due, which is all we have. Then we think about life. You know, we should be thankful for life. As a benefit, we breathe. If you can breathe, we should be thankful because every breath we have, it comes from God. God is the giver and taker of life. We see here that God can extend Hezekiah's life. We see that God can shut the womb of Sarah, can open up the womb of Sarah. We see God can do the same thing with Elizabeth. We are here and we are alive today because of God. And that is a blessing from God. That shows a benefit that we have and we should be thankful for it. And we're going to go quickly through these. Bear with me. Salvation. Man, what a benefit. What a benefit we have is that God has saved us from our sins. We're on our way to heaven, and what greater benefit do we waste that opportunity? How can you waste your salvation? The same way Hezekiah wasted his life. His last 15 years, Hezekiah had great chance to praise the Lord, to win people to Christ, to point people to Christ, to point the people to the God of Israel. Nations were coming, and they were coming to give him presents and saying, boy, he has been lifted up in front of all these nations. And Hezekiah had the chance, had the opportunity now to ring forth the truth of the gospel and say, God is the one that did this. God has delivered us. God has brought. But he wasted that opportunity. He was saved from his deathbed. But he wasted the opportunity. Many times we've been saved from our sins and we waste the opportunity of telling others. Think about our prayer life. What a blessing. We have the opportunity to enter boldly into the throne of grace and be able to pray to God and speak to God and cast all our cares upon him and render thanks and praise because he is God and is worthy of it. And it is such a wasted blessing in so many Christians' lives because they will not take the time to pray. Boy, what a great benefit. But we don't pray like we should. Church, to me, church is a blessing. Some of you might say, man, church, when church is done, it's a blessing. No. Church is a blessing. Church is an opportunity to hear about God, learn about God, fellowship with God's people, to sing God's praises. It is a place where you can grow together as a church family. Man, church has been established by God to be a blessing to you. But you know what? So many times people waste the blessing because they don't get involved. They don't show up. I know that you say, Pastor, we're here. It's Sunday morning before Thanksgiving. Yet we're here. You miss out the opportunities of making church everything it can be for you. I encourage you, connect in, get involved, find your place to serve, be faithful, let God work and move in your life. Church is a huge blessing, but so many times people look at it as a detriment. People are not going to understand why you go to church. People are not going to understand why you give. People are not going to understand why you serve because it's a blessing from God, and you don't want to waste the blessing that God has given you. You want to make every opportunity of the blessing that God's given you. Think about the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. Our Holy Spirit of God. God has given us His Spirit to lead us, to direct us, to guide us. Don't squelch the Holy Spirit's power. Don't quench the Holy Spirit's power. Let Him move you, lead you, and guide you. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God, and we don't even seek for His wisdom. What a wasted blessing. What's the most powerful things in this world? The Holy Spirit of God. What's more powerful than God? And He lives inside of us. And we should use that. But so often it is a wasted blessing. Think about our families. Our families, we have an opportunity to be a minister. And I preached a few, maybe last month or something, about we should be a blessing and a minister. We should look at our marriage as an opportunity to minister to one another. We have a blessing. If you have a husband or wife, that is a benefit. That's a favor from God. So it doesn't seem like a benefit or a favor from God all the time. Well, are you ministering unto them? I mean, what great blessing that you have if you have a child, son or daughter, grandchildren. What a great blessing you have to be able to demonstrate the love of God and teach them the love of God and show them the praises of God. But we waste the blessings that God has given us by severing our relationships, by not putting God first in our lives. Another thing, our country. I don't know about you, our country is a great benefit. I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful that I live in a country that is free and that I can preach the word of God and that we can pray and we can talk about God. And yes, we see that it's coming farther and farther and farther away from our, people are trying to take away our spiritual liberties, and we have the opportunity to stand up and rise up and be able to say something, and but it's a wasted blessing. So many times we've remained silent, we've remained quiet, we've let people that are liberal, we allow people that are anti-God, anti-Bible, take over and try to take over our country. You know what we're doing? We're wasting the blessing that we've been given as a great nation that we have. We're wasting it, we're letting it fall aside because we will not do anything. That's a wasted blessing. Just like Hezekiah wasted his 15 years of his lives, many times being an American, we waste the blessing that God's given us. Our health. You know, I've seen God raise some people out of some great sicknesses, maybe even off a deathbed. And you ever heard that prayer? You're in the hospital and you're there, man, if God will just heal me up and get me up, I'll praise Him, I'll serve Him, I'll do those things. I've heard that before. Maybe I've never seen somebody raise up off their deathbed that often, but I've heard people say, if I get out of this hospital, I'm going to be at church every Sunday. You know what? God heals them, they're out of the hospital, and they're in their house on Sundays. Or they're not serving like they made the promises. Don't waste the blessing that God has given you. Think about our resources. Our resources. And like I said, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, if those people could live even in the most basic poverty level people houses, you know, be able to have a car, have electricity, to be able to use the bathroom in the house. I mean, that's got to be a great benefit. That's a blessing. We need to use our resources. We got to stop wasting the resources God has given us, whether it be our talents, whether it be our finances, whether it be our just the possessions we have. And these are all blessings from God, but we waste those so much because we use them for ourselves. Just like Hezekiah, he was pride. He took things for granted. You think about technology. The technology, yeah, we take that for granted sometimes. You know, we have a computer. There's the internet. You can use the internet for great things, or you can use the internet for horrible things. What are you taking for granted? You're wasting blessings when we use it on things that are worldly and things that are anti-God, anti-Bible. And so wasted blessings. And we have so many blessings. And I want you to understand in this story here, Hezekiah, render not again according to the benefit done unto him because he was prideful. A.W. Tozer put it this way, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God and is one of the poorest of us can make and not poorer, but richer for having made it. All of us can be thankful. You say, well, I can't give like I like to. Well, you know what? You can be thankful. Even the poorest person can be thankful and show gratitude for what God has given them. See, an unthankful person will take granted for things that God has given them. Second thing, an unthankful person will not give God the glory. An unthankful person will not give God the glory. In this story, I know I've already alluded to this, one of the strange habits of the human heart is to feel proud about what we receive by grace. To feel proud about what we receive by grace. When the Lord does something special for us, we are tempted to believe it is about us rather than about Him. And we got to be careful there. When God works in our hearts, when God looks in our life, sometimes we are raised up pridefully and we begin to cast down an eye and start looking around saying, well, He's not using that person, or He didn't do this person. God must like me better. You know, we raise up our hearts in pride. And this is what happens to Hezekiah's life. He has a chance to lift the Lord's name on high to the Babylonians and to the rest of the world, but instead He shows him all his treasure and God has to deal with him. However, regarding the ambassadors of Babylon who sent him to inquire the wonder that was done in this land, I believe that they wanted to yoke up with Israel, and they missed the opportunity here to be able to give God the blessing, saying, we don't need your help because I depend upon God. Abusing the gifts that God's gave us means that we're giving them over to the Babylonians, and we must learn to be thankful. Giving into peer pressure, having pride, there are things that will cause us not to give God the glory He deserves. And the third thing is, last but not least, is an unthankful person will care less about future generations. An unthankful person will care less about future generations. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you heard that story. Remember when it said in chapter 20, in 2 Kings 20 and verse 19, he was saying nothing more than saying, okay, as long as it doesn't happen during my time period. He says, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? See, he was saying, hey, as long as it's not going to happen when I'm alive, why should I care? See, a person who is selfish and centered on themselves, they could care less about what the future generations are going to have because they're caring only about themselves. We need to be careful. Our pride is going to kill future generations because we refuse to get right with God, because we continue in our sins, and in the end we destroy the generations to come. How could this godly king have such a wicked son? And you say, Pastor, why do you think that his last 15 years was worse, that he should have died when he was 39? Because 3 years later, he gets a son. And his son is actually the most wicked king in known all of Israel history. I think it was actually, he was more wicked than Ahab and Jezebel combined. This man was a very, very, very wicked man. And maybe God knew best by him dying at 39. This man would have never came on the scene. But instead, he does not give God the glory. He shows the Babylonians his treasures. Babylon is then, because of the judgment of God, is going to fall. And his wicked son is born. Now, how could such a godly man have such a wicked son? Now, this is just my thought, you know, Brian P's theology here, is the thought here is that because he refused to get right with God, he had pride in his heart, he was lifted up in those years that he was alive. Yes, I know he was only 12 years, but for those 12 forms of years, he saw a dad that was not right with God, and he had pride in his heart, and he would not get right with God. A dad who says, okay, you know what? That can happen to my sons and my grandsons and my great-grandsons and future generations. As long as it doesn't happen to me, I don't really care. You know what that is? That is a prideful, unthankful person that is not willing to render to the benefits of God. You say, what am I supposed to do? Well, I began thinking a little bit about this. And I began thinking, you know what? What can we do? I think I know what the answer is. I think that because of our pride and because of our sin, what we need to learn how to do is humble ourselves before God. So that way we can demonstrate to God, to the generation to come, a God that is loving, a God that is kind. If we will render unto the benefits that God has given us and we will remember God and be thankful to God, we will be able to show and demonstrate to the generation to come. Psalm 78 says, which we have heard and known of our fathers have told us. So he's saying, look, God, our fathers have taught us to be thankful for the things that God has done. Verse 4 says, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. But see, that will never happen until we are willing to be thankful for the benefits that God has given us. We come to Thanksgiving. Do you know what Thanksgiving was based upon? I know. You say the pilgrims. I agree. They were giving thanks to God. You go back to the first official as a nation back in 1789 on October 3rd. George Washington made the following proclamation designating that last Thursday on the 26th of November be devoted by the people of the states about being thankful. But listen to who it's talking about. In the first year as president, George Washington issued a proclamation claiming for a national day of thanksgiving. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations, now listen, duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both the House of Congress have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day public of thanksgiving and prayer to observe by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. I won't finish the statement, but just think about that. First national holiday for Thanksgiving. It's about praising God. Abraham Lincoln was the one to establish it was going to be the last Thursday in November, but think about what he said. The Civil War was still raging. Lincoln established the last Thursday in November as a day of national prayer and thanksgiving. He says, no human counsel have devised nor have any mortal hand worked out these great details. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins have nevertheless remembered mercy. it has seen meet that the proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and prayer to our beneficial Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And once again, it was about praising God. Now, how many people think we're going to hear President Obama say that this week sometime? Or hear any of our, hear many at least of our leaders say that? They're not going to. You want to know why? Because it's been a wasted blessing. Our country has gone down the wrong way. People have become prideful and their hearts have been lifted up. Sin has run rampant and no one wants to get right. And because of that, what's happening? We're losing the blessing that God's given us. Say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm glad you ask, and we'll finish with this. I wonder, do we care enough about our future generations to repent of our sins and say, I need to be right with God so I do not waste the benefits of His blessings of salvation, the conviction He gives me, the prayer, the Bible reading, church, the Holy Spirit, the families. Do I care enough to say that my prideful sin is not worth damaging the future generations that I'm willing to get right with God? Think what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. See, that was Hezekiah's problem. It was funny that Hezekiah would pray for his sickness, but when he hears of the future for his country, he says, at least it won't happen when I'm alive. He wasn't willing to pray for them, but for himself he was willing to pray. Are we willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Here's the question. It all begins with Hezekiah's pride being lifted up. How many of us care too much about our sins to get right with God? It's affecting the generations to come. It affects our families. It affects our churches. It affects our country. How many of us will say, I don't want to be like Hezekiah? We look at Hezekiah and be like, man, he gave you 15 more years and you weren't thankful at all. What type of ungrateful person are you? But what about our own sin? Are we willing to say, I care enough about my family, my country, and my church to repent of my sins and seek God's face? Am I willing to do that? But so many of us are prideful and we say, I have no sin. So many of us are prideful saying, I'm not hurting anybody else. So many of people are prideful saying, so-and-so need to get right, not me. No. That was what Hezekiah did. He became unthankful because he was not willing to deal with his own pride. And he had a son that watched that happen, and I believe his son turned out to be so wicked because he had a father that would not be thankful. And don't get me wrong. I know if I went around this room, we could all spend many minutes, hours, thanking the Lord. But what God wants us to see is for us to render back to the benefits He's given us. Just not talking. Talk is cheap. But if we see the need in our life and say, God, You deserve all of me, all my praise, all my whatever it is, I'm going to humble myself because You deserve it. He deserves us. All of us. This morning, as we think about Thanksgiving, we have so many blessings. Ask yourself, have I been wasting the blessings that God has given me? Whether it be a church, family, the Bible, prayer, whatever it is, Hezekiah wasted the last 15 years of his life, and it was detrimental to his country and to his family. And I think that we, for a long time as a church and as a American Christians, whatever you want to call the terminology, is that we have wasted the blessings of reading our Bibles and praying to a point where we become very sinful people, very prideful people. And we need to say, look, I need to take advantage of the blessings God has given me and repent of those sins and say, God, please help me. Now, if you're saying, Pastor, wasted blessings, I don't know what that means. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you're missing out on the greatest blessing of all. Jesus Christ came and gave a benefit to this world by dying on the cross for your sins and giving people an opportunity to get to heaven. Don't waste that blessing. Don't waste that opportunity. This morning we're going to have an invitation. Come forward. Let me have somebody take the Bible and teach you and show you how you can be saved on your way to heaven because of the blessing God has provided to the world when He gave His only begotten Son. There are many people who waste that blessing and they miss the opportunity by not accepting Christ and they end up being punished forever in a horrible place called hell. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that benefit pass by, that blessing pass by. Repent of your sins and cry out to God. But to those that are in the room that are mostly Christians, is there a sin that is stopping you from using the blessings of God? Humbly surrender to it and say, God, I want to get right. Don't be like Hezekiah and say, well, as long as it doesn't hurt me, as long as it doesn't cause a problem in my life or in my family or if what's going on for me, that is nothing but pride. Repent of the sin and ask God to help you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.